Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Pei Hei. We will begin on Daf Pei Hei on an Aleph on the second line. Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. By the name of Rav Sheshes. The following question was posed to Rav Sheshes. Ben Mashias Shlich Laviv, can a son be appointed vis-a-vis his father La'Kaisa La'Kalalai? We know that under certain circumstances, if a person does Aveira, he's Chayiv Malkus. And the question is, could the son be the Shliach HaBezdin to administer Bez Malkus, or Lekaloloi, or to curse him? What is the situation of cursing him? So the Mefarshim explain that when a person is put into Nidui, the halacha is that part of the Nidui process is that there is a klola. Daruch Haner says when the Gemara over here discusses if the son could be the Shlich Bezdin for these issues, it's even in a situation where somebody else could do it. Because if we were saying that the Gemara is only addressing a situation where this can only be done through his son, but if it can't be done, but if there's somebody else to do it, then there's no question that the son may not do it. So Aruch Haner explains, we're going to see the Gemara is going to ask different questions, and the Gemara could have just answered all those questions, that there's a difference if there's somebody else who could do it, or if there isn't somebody else that could do it. The fact that in all the cases that we're going to learn, the Gemara did not choose to give such an answer is an indication that the Gemara's question is under all circumstances, can he be the one to be the Shlich Bezdin to hit his father or to give him a klala. So as we said, the simple pshat is that when somebody is put into Nidui, we curse him. Another pshat that I saw is that there's a bezoyin involved in the Nidui. So even if there is no specific halacha that when somebody's put into Cherim, we have to curse him, but the simple act or the actual act of putting somebody into Cherim is equivalent to putting somebody is to cursing him, and that's why the Gemara's question is what will be the halacha vis-a-vis a son doing so to a father. Amalhu, to which Rav Sheshes answers, Vachem Yitiru, when we speak about putting somebody into Cherim or to cursing him, is that something that one Jew may do to another Jew? Ella, why is it permissible? Because Kvod Shemayim Adav, sometimes that's what the halacha requires, and when that's what the halacha requires, that supersedes everything else. So now suggests the Gemara, Hachanami, if the halacha is that one is supposed to do what you're supposed to do, so it shouldn't make a difference when it's the father. Kvod Shemayim is Adav, you have to do what the halacha says. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Pasuk says, regarding somebody who Rachman Tzlan is Chayiv Malkus, the Pasuk says, Aboim Yakenu La Yosef. The Pasuk is speaking about somebody who is subject to Malkus and Bezdin, and the halacha is that one cannot give him more. And the Gemara wants to use that halacha as a proof to what is the halacha vis-a-vis giving Malkus the father. And the Braisa uses the following words: Mash misha tzuva la'koisai, mitzuva shloi la'koisai. The Braisa says, if in a case where the Torah says that we have to give Malkus, there's a mitzvah not to give Malkus, misha any mitzuva la'koisai. In a case where we shouldn't give Malkus, any mitzvah shloi la'koisai. Very ambiguous words. And the Gemara suggests, my lav, what is the definition? How are we to understand these words? My love, the way to understand these words, idi, that the Braisa is speaking about a case where there's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah that Bezdin said that this person is Chayiv Malkus. And the way to understand the Braisa is Habanoi, when the Braisa says Mishenim Tzuvala Kaisai, is talking about the son, for her, and the first part of the Braisa is talking about somebody else that's not the son. And the way to understand the Braisa is, if somebody who has a mitzvah to give Malkus, when the halacha so requires. Still, the Torah says, Lo Yosef, we should only give the man prescribed, not anymore a son who doesn't have to mitzvah to hit his father. That's certainly not give him any malchus. So this brisa seems to teach us that even though kvod shemayim, even though there's a mitzvah to give malchus, that mitzvah cannot be on the son, says the Gemara Loi. That's not the way I understand the brisa. Don't say that the brisa is differentiating between a son and somebody else and saying that somebody else may give malchus, but a son may never give malchus. Rather, the way to understand the brisa is loish idiv idi, loish benoy loish acher. The brisa is following the opinion of Rashashis that when malchus has to be given, it could be a son or it could be anyone else. And the way to understand the brisa is like this. The part of the brisa is speaking about when there's a mitzvah to give malchus. When there's no mitzvah to give malchus. And this is the way to understand what the brisa means. In a case where there's a mitzvah, the Bezdin sentenced this individual to get malchus. So under those circumstances, mitzvah lakoy, so we have to give the malchus. The halacha is mitzvah shloi lakoy, so we're not allowed to give him more than what was prescribed. So certainly shloi b'makom mitzvah, a person who has no, where there is no chiv malchus, and a mitzvah lakoy, so that there's no mitzvah, there's no obligation to give him malchus, and it didn't shemitzvah shloi lakoy, so we have to be careful not to give him malchus. And what the Braisa is teaching us is how careful we have to be not to hit another Jew. Toshima. So Gemara brings another raya against Rav Sheshes. The Braisa says, Hayotze laharig, if somebody is being taken out to be killed by Bezdin, he was Chaim Mises Bezdin, Uba b'noi v'kov v'kiloloi, and his son at that point hits his father Rachman Tzlan, curses his father Rachman Tzlan, Chayiv, the din of Makkah Aviv will apply. But if it wasn't the son that did it, he wouldn't be chayiv. Even though the halacha is based on the pasuk of La Yosef, the one is not allowed to give malchus to any other Jew. Here, the person who will be hitting this father would not be chayiv malchus. And in order to understand this brisa, maishna b'no, maishna acher. We need to understand why does the halacha differentiate between the son giving malchus to his father who's sentenced to death, and why is somebody else who gives him malchus not chai malchus? Vam Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda explained the braisa, b'mesarim by lotzais, where somebody who was sentenced to death is being urged to go there, very yotzei, and we have to force him to go. So somebody else who hit him is part of malchus, because that's part of being a shliach bezdin, to make sure that the person who is supposed to be put to death, will be put to death. A son can't do so. And the reason the son can't do so is because a son is not allowed to be the shliach bezdin to punish his father. But what we say from here is that a son cannot do that. Unlike Rabbi Sheshes, who said that when it's a mitzvah to do it, even the son may do it. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Sheshes Mukalei, Rav Shesh is going to have to explain the Braisa, She'em Mitzavim by Letzes. There is no need to force him to go out. He's willingly going out. So if the son hit him, the son is Chayim Misa, but indeed, says Rav Shesh, if the son, if the father was not going out willingly, according to the way Rav Shesh is learning, the son would not do anything wrong by hitting the father to get him, to urge him to go to get killed if he was so sentenced. Ask the Gemara if we're saying that the Bryce is referring to an individual who's going out willingly. So Achanami, why is somebody else, if he hits him under those circumstances, going to be Potter? Acher, says the Gemara, he has no right to hit him if he's going there willingly, and we're learning in Ashir that you're not allowed to hit another Jew. Says the Gemara, Acher, when we speak about another person, Gavra Ketilahu, this person is considered a dead man working. And since he's a dead man walking, because he's already on the way to be killed, that's why there's no chiyuv for hitting him. But the son, who who hits him, even though, as we just said, the father is a gavra katila, but just like the halacha is, that here, even though the halacha will be that if somebody were to hit a father after the father passed away, he would not be chayiv, but here, the father is still alive. And since the father is still alive, that's why he's going to be chayiv for the special halacha of Makav Aviv. Ask the Gemara, Rav Sheshe said, Baisha Yoshin, if you embarrass a person while he's sleeping, or mace, and then he passed away. Even though the halacha is, so this person never felt the embarrassment because he died before he could be ever recognized what happened. Still, the person who did so to him is chayiv. So here too, why are we saying that somebody who hit a person is on the way to be killed? He's hurting a gavra katila, but we see that that doesn't make a difference. Says the Gemara, "Hakmai skinish kosh ein b'sheva pruta," that the value was ein b'sheva pruta, and that's why he's not chayiv. Says the Gemara, that even though there's no financial payment when you hit somebody that hakosh ein b'sheva pruta, but ask the Gemara of Amrav Ami, Amrav Yochanan, he called hakosh ein b'sheva pruta, there's still malchus. So why isn't this person who hit the man who's being taken out to be killed not chayiv the malchus? Says the Gemara, that's what the Braisa means to say. My potter the kamar, what does the Braisa mean when it says potter? It means potter mimaman, that he doesn't have any financial obligation, but we would get malchus. Mechlal, so says the Gemara, if the Braisa is contrasting somebody else versus the son, mechlal de b'noi chayiv mimaman, that was saying that the son would be chayiv mimaman. Says the Gemara, but we're saying it was a hakah shem b'shev pruta. If it was a hakah shem b'shev pruta, why would the son be chayiv mamon? Ella says the Gemara, Braisa, the halacha is that the son, kedinoi, that the son will be chayiv misa for having hit his father. Hachanami, so too, if it says potter by somebody else, it can't mean that it's just potter for mamon, but it must be bedinoi, the din of somebody that when you hit somebody else. So that means that he's completely free. So now we're back to where we started. If we're saying that the Bryce is speaking, that he's not, he doesn't need to be urged to go, so no one should be allowed to hit him. And if it's talking about a situation where he's being urged to be, he has to be urged to go to carry out the sentence that there is against the Mamisa's Bezdin, and Rav Sheshe started the shir saying that if that's what that's what the Torah wants, then even a son is allowed to do it. So we're back to a question, why does the Braisa say that the son is chayiv? According to Rav Sheshe, the son ought to be potter. Says the Gemara, so the Braisa offers a new interpretation. The Braisa says, what is the reason when somebody else hits him under these circumstances? Because the pasuk says, "Amakra, the nasi ba'amcha leisar." We're not allowed to curse a nasi. And from here we learn, who is that applied to? Ba'isa masa amcha. Somebody who acts as the way the Torah wants us to act. But this individual is not ba'isa masa amcha, because he obviously did a terrible avera if he was sentenced to death. And therefore, somebody else is not punished for hitting him. Ask the Gemara, Hotena Klola, the pasuk indeed says, V'nasi ba'amcha le'sar, ba'oysa masa amcha, that only a person that acts as the halacha wants him to act, may we not curse. But this person is not a oysa masa amcha, so we'll not curse him. But ask the Gemara, we're not talking about klola, we're not talking about cursing, we're talking hakolam enolan, we're talking about hitting him. So ask the Gemara, from where do we see that you're allowed to hit a person who's in oisa masa amcha? Answers the Gemara, the makshin hakala klala, because the Torah says we connect the two things. Hakala klala travel together, and both will be chay. Both will be part of in oisa masa amcha. However, points out the Ran that even though we're learning now that we're allowed to curse somebody that's in oisa masa amcha, and we're allowed to hit somebody, says the Ran, the hakah that we're allowed to hit someone who's eina oisa masa amcha
is only a hakosh ein b'shava pruta, that it's not the value of a pruta. But if that hakosh is shava pruta, even though the person is a ein oisa mas amcha, even though he's an individual that doesn't act the way the halacha wants him to act, we're not allowed to hit him in that fashion. But ask the Gemara, ihachi, if we're referring to an individual that's ein oisa mas amcha, and the proof is that he is being taken to be killed, so ask the Gemara, ihachi b'noi nami, so then the same halacha ought to apply by his son. And why is the son not allowed to hit him or curse him if he's ein oisa mas amcha? Answer the Gemara, k'damar Pinchas, she'asu tshuva, which Rav Pinchas said in a different situation that the Mishnah speaks about truma kodesh that were in the house and ganovim came into the house, and now the ganovim say that they didn't touch it. We believe them, and the Gemara explains that Mishnah Masechta Chagiga Daf Chav Vav Amar Aleph is because they did tshuva, and that's why we believe them when they say what they say. So that's what we're going to say. Hachinami Basha Tshuva. So, and that's why the son, even though he's being sentenced to death, the halacha is that death sentence is not removed. Why is that death sentence not removed? Because the halacha says that he has to be killed, and Bezna Paskin that he has to be killed, so that's what happens to him. But since he did tshuva, the son is not allowed to hit him or curse him. But ask the Gemara if we're referring to an individual who did tshuva, yach achanami. So then no one is allowed to hit him or curse him. So why was somebody else that it is he potter? Amar Amami says the Gemara, the pasuk says, v'nasi ba'amcha le'sar b'mekuyim shibamecha, that only somebody who is worthy to be left alive is there an iser to hit or curse. This individual is not such an individual. He's being taken to be killed. Ask the Gemara if that halacha only applies to someone who's fit to remain alive. Yoche b'nai nami, so don't we say to b'say, but his son also. Answers the Gemara, son has a different halacha than somebody else. Midah d'hav halacha misa, just like we're going to learn after death, that the halacha is the one is not hurt or curse his father. But even though that's halacha when even after death, so the halacha regarding a parent is different than somebody else. So ask the Gemara. We began with a question. What is the halacha regarding a son being allowed to be the shliach bezdin to hit the father to be the shliach? May have a law. What is the halacha? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Barav Huna, v'chein taner Rabbi Shmuel, v'chol for all situations, ein aben nasa shliach la'aviv la'koysoi la'kaloi. A son can never be in that position. Chutz Mimesis. In a situation where the father, Rachman Tzlan, is trying to convince other people to worship Avodah Zarah, for in that situation, Sherei Amra Torah, in that situation, the Torah said, L'sachma v'l'sachas olam. So the Torah, so the Gemara has taught us the halacha that a son is not allowed to be a shliach under any circumstances to hurt the father. It says Taisus, that this, as far as the maskan is concerned, that this halacha is only regarding a father who did tshuva, and therefore the father, the son is not allowed to hit him. However, if the father did not do tshuva, then this halacha would not apply. The Rambam and the Rif disagree, and they say that a son is forbidden to hit or curse his father, even if the father is a rasha. They do agree that if the father didn't do tshuva and the son hit or cursed him, the son would not be chayiv misa, but the halacha still is that the son may not do it. The Shas Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi discusses a situation if a son is allowed to be a mile on his father. Since doing a mila is a mitzvah, so the way Rav Sheshes has been learning our shir, the halacha should be that the son should be allowed to do it. But since, says the Shas Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, we followed the psak of the Tana Deber Shmuel, who says that a son is not allowed to be a shliach bezdin in giving makas to a father. So he says, similarly, a son is not allowed to be the moil to do a bris milah on his father. But he does say that if there is nobody else available, so that there is no other moil available besides the son, then says the Eretz Tzvi, the son would be allowed to be the Moila's father. It compares it to what we discussed in our previous shiur, where we discussed the halacha of a son being doing a medical procedure on the father. And one of the things that we learned was that if there's nobody else to do it, then the son is allowed to do it. Here too, if there's no one else to do the bris milah, the son will be allowed to do it. The discussion that the Rishonim have is what's going to be the halacha if a son sees that the only way a parent can be taken care of is in a difficult manner, in a cruel manner, is a son allowed to do it? And Daruch HaShulchan says that if that's the only way a parent should be treated, the son should go somewhere else and not be the one to treat the parent in that way. The same question comes up, the Rishonim discuss and the Shulchan Aruch discusses, if a son has a claim against the father, can the son take the father to the Din Torah, particularly if what will be a result of the Din Torah is that the father will have to make a shvuah? So some Paiskim seem to say that it would be usur, because again, that's considered embarrassing the father. The Ksav Sofer says that taking a father to a Din Torah is not considered even if he'll have to make a shvuah, it's not considered doing something that will be embarrassing him. And therefore, since it's not considered doing something embarrassing him, that's why perhaps it will be mutter. It's also interesting to point out that the Paiskim seem to differentiate between taking a father or a mother to Din Torah, and it seems that the Paiskim are stricter about taking a mother to Din Torah than a father to Din Torah. A mother, since there's generally a rule, a kol kvodo basmel pnima, women typically are not taken out publicly. So to take a mother and bring her to Beis Din is much more embarrassing than taking a father to Beis Din, and therefore you have to be even more careful about taking a mother than a father. The pasuk says, "V'nasi ba'amcha leisar," and we've been learning ba'osu ba'asa amcha. The pasuk by Klal Yisrael going out of Mitzrayim says, "V'tzeisi es tzevoisi es ami b'nei Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim b'shvatim gedolim." What we learned from our Gemara, says the Cheshev Sofer, is whenever the Torah used the word Amcha, it's an extra word to learn something. So in our Gemara, we've been using it to teach us the halacha of Oysa Ma'asa Amcha. So he says, that's the same way to understand that pasuk. He says, we know that the only people who left Mitzrayim were those who were tzaddikim. But the Rishoyim, from amongst the Jews, died during the 3 days of Makas Choshech. And that's what the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'tzoyisi etzavoyisi es ami b'nei Yisrael." Who am I going to be taking out of Mitzrayim? As ami, those people who are oisa masa amcha. The Briskerov makes an interesting observation. The pasuk says, "Elohim loisakalu," which means that you're not allowed to curse a judge, the nasi ba'amcha leisar, and you're not allowed to curse the nasi. But he makes the observation that the word ba'amcha is associated with the nasi, not with the dayan. Why is it that way? So he says there's a fundamental difference about who is appointed as a dayan versus who is appointed as a nasi. A dayan, just because somebody's father was a dayan, doesn't mean that the son will be appointed as a dayan. The person that's going to be appointed for a dayan has to be qualified to be a dayan. So the situation of having a dayan who's eina oisa ma'asa amcha is highly irregular, because where's there going to be a dayan who's not a oisa ma'asa amcha? We're not going to appoint a dayan who's not a oisa ma'asa amcha. But what will be the halacha regarding a nasi? The way a nasi is appointed is somebody's father is the melech, so typically his son will be appointed as the melech. And therefore, says the Briskerov, the pasuk is very understandable. Elohim leisakal, a dayan is always going to be somebody who's oisa ma'asa amcha. This distinction that we're learning about oisa ma'asa amcha and ain't oisa ma'asa amcha can't be said regarding a dayan. But when we speak about a Nasi, there it's very different. Because a Nasi could be, unfortunately, an individual who's Eina Oysa Ma'asa Amcha. And that's why the Torah had to say, by a Nasi, for Nasi Ba'amcha, only if the Nasi is Oysa Ma'asa Amcha, Loisor, may we not curse him. But if he's Eina Oysa Ma'asa Amcha, we don't have to curse him. There's an interesting Shaila where the Chuchichuke Chemed discusses, we're talking about a son and a father. And what would be the halachi says, if a father, somebody sees that the father is violating all sorts of traffic rules. And by violating these traffic rules, he's obviously creating a situation of sakonis nefashos. Is the son allowed to report the father? So he says, as we're learning in our Gemara, if there's no one that a son has to view his situation and decide what should be done or what shouldn't be done. So he suggests that if we have a situation where a son sees the father is driving in a dangerous way, the halakha, what he should do is he should have the father reported, but it shouldn't be he himself who reports the father to the authorities. He have somebody else report him, and the goal will be accomplished, but not through the son. We've been learning in our shir that the Torah says, "V'nasi ba'amcha leisor." The Torah says that we're not allowed to curse a nasi ba'amcha. The question that the Meches Chinuch discusses, he says, when we learn the halacha of nasi ba'amcha leisor, that we're not allowed to curse somebody else, but if he's eina oisa ma'asa amcha, then the rule is different. How is that the halacha? Asked the Meches Chinuch. Doesn't mean that if somebody curses somebody who's an Eina Oysa Ma'asa Amcha, he's potter. He doesn't get malchus for cursing somebody, but he's not allowed, he should not do it. Or is the way to look at it, says the Meches Chinuch, that it's mutter. So at first glance, he says, the halacha ought to be that he's just potter, but he's not, he's potter, but it's not mutter. But then he wants to bring a raya that it's not just potter, but it's mutter, because he says that we say in Shoshanas Yaakov and Purim, Arurim Kol Rishoyim. So we see that what are we doing? We're expressly cursing the Rishoyim. So the fact that we see that we're expressly cursing the Rishoyim is an indication, says the Meches Chinuch, that not only are you potter for cursing a Rasha, but it's even mutter to curse a Rasha. But then I saw that the Achroinim suggest that even in a case that you're allowed to curse a Rasha, that's only in a situation where the person who's cursing is a tzaddik. So the halacha says that a tzaddik is allowed to curse a Rasha. But if the person who's issuing the curse, he himself is a Rasha, then he's not allowed to curse a Rasha. What makes you better than the person you cursed? And perhaps that's the reason why on Purim, Chayv Inish Lefsumei Purya, a person has to drink in Purim at the Layada, Ben Araham LeBaruch Mordechai. Because we want to be able to say Shoshanas Yaakov. And in Shoshanas Yaakov, it says, or Arurim Kol Rishoyim. But what makes us better that we should be allowed to curse? But once we're intoxicated and we don't know if we're a Rasha or we don't know if we're a tzaddik, at that point, the halacha is that we're allowed to say whatever we have to say. Teaches us the Mishnah. The Hamaka Aviv Imay, if somebody, Rechman Slan, hits a parent, Enu Chayiv, he's not Chayiv for hitting the parent, Achi Yasaban Chabura, until he makes a wound. It says the Mishnah, Zech Chaimer b'Mekalim b'Mamaka. There's a chumra regarding somebody who curses a parent versus somebody who hits a parent. Shemakal lachem isa. If somebody curses his parent after the parent passed away, Chayiv, he's going to be Chayiv, as the Gemara is going to teach us. However, v'makal lachem isa, if somebody hits his parent after the parent passes away, is potter. Because, explains Rashi, as we just learned, one is not chayiv for Maka Aviv unless he makes a chabura. And when after somebody passed away, you cannot learn, you can no longer make a chabura, because there's no chabura. That the Sefer Chassidim says that there were Tamid Chachamim that were sitting, and they came and asked the question, if somebody hits the father, as we just learned in the Mishnah, after the father passed away, he's potter. But if he curses him after the father passes away, he's chayiv. What would be the halacha if somebody passed away, a father passed away, and the son, and it must have been when the father just passed away, and the son hit him to the degree that blood came out? Is it going to be chayiv or not? And he said, what is the question? Is the question is, because when you hit your father, Rahman Slan, to the degree that blood comes out, that means you're embarrassing him. Or is it that there is no hakah when there is lacha misa, because a hakah lacha misa doesn't cause any damage, and therefore it doesn't make a difference if it's a, even if blood comes out, and he doesn't really answer the question. Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says, Kishishi kalas aviv imay mos yumas, says the Gemara, aviv imay kilo, and the pasuk comes says aviv imay kilo, and these are superfluous words, because we already learned that you're not allowed to curse a parent. From here we learn, says the Gemara, that from here we learn that lacha misa, that even after misa yichayif. Says the Gemara, yochel, says the Gemara, we would say that why do we need a pasuk to teach us that if you curse a parent after the parent passed away, yichayif? Shiyochel hal v'chay b'makav, since the Torah speaks about the isser of hitting a parent, v'chayv v'makalon, the Torah speaks about the isra of cursing a parent. Ma, maka en chayv el mechayim, as we've been learning, the chiyuv of hitting a parent only is while the parent is alive. Af makala en el mechayim is only as long as the parent is, we would think, is only alive. Void, and we can even make a kavachaymer. Ma, maka, when we speak about hitting a parent, shas bashloi ka'amcha, if the parent doesn't follow the mitzvah of the Torah ka'amcha, we treat him the same as the person who does act. Because as Tosfos explains, the pasuk that differentiates between oisa masa amcha and eina oisa masa amcha is a pasuk by makal, by cursing, not by hitting. But the halacha is, so we see that maka in a way is stricter than makalo, because maka applies to any parent, even the parent that's eina oisa masa amcha. Still, loichai ba'alacha misa, there is no chiyuv for makkah after the parent passed away. Makalo, when we speak about cursing a parent, that only a parent that's oisa masa amcha is there issa to curse. So we should certainly say that there is no chiyuv after the parent passes away. Tamaloymer, the pasuk adds the words ova v'imay kilel, and what those extra words come to teach us, that the halacha is that lacha misa, that even lacha misa, there is an isra of kalal. Says the Gemara, hanichal Rabbi Yosef, according to Rabbi Yosef, that the pasuk, the meis lekra of aviv imay kilel, is an extra pasuk, so I have it available to teach us that one may not curse a parent even after the parent passed away. El Rabbi Yosef that says that he has a different need from this pasuk. So where would we learn this halacha? May ikla meimer, says the Gemara, what do we mean? The Tanya, the Braisa, teaches us, and we learned this Braisa earlier in the Masechta on Daf Samach Vav, Amin Aleph. The Pas says, Hish ish ashikalas ovavis imay mos yumos, ovavi imay kilel, damaboy. And the question is, ma tamalim ish ish, what if the Torah say the word ish twice? The Rabbis Bas, Tumtum Androgynous, a daughter or a tumtum who has his simonim closed up, covered up, and androgynous is somebody who has the simonim of the boy and a girl. Ashikalas ovavis imay, eli ela ovavi imay. So if I had the pasuk, I would say only if you cursed both parents, aviv shloi imay. But if somebody cursed the father, not the mother, or imay shloi aviv, or just the mother, not the father, menayin, how do we know that their tour is a chiv misa? Tamaloymer, aviv imay kilel, aviv kilel, the pasuk has the word Yekalel next to Aviv, as the Pasuk says, Yekalel is Aviv. The Pasuk has the word Klala next to Imai, as the Pasuk says, Imai Kilel, to teach us that both by the father and the mother, individually, there's a chiv misa for cursing them. Divrei Rebbeisha. So we see from here, the Rebbeisha needs a Pasuk to teach us that there's a chiv for a father alone or mother alone. Rabbi Yonason says that whenever the Torah says, as aviv as imay, whenever the Torah uses those kind of wording, mashma, we could explain the pasuk to be meaning shneim kechad, both together, or mashma echav echav b'fnei atzmai, or each one individually. He said, atshelach l'kas of yachdav. Unless the Torah specifically says that yachdav, which means both, I don't interpret it to mean both, I interpret it to mean each one individually. So now, according to Rabbi Yonason, the Pasuk of Aviv Imay Kilel is available to teach us what we've been learning, that the Zachiv Klala Lachamisa. But according to Rabbi Oshia, that we need the Pasuk of Aviv Imay Kilel to teach us the Zachiv for cursing each parent individually, Menole, where will Rabbi Oshia learn the halacha that if you curse a parent, Lachamisa Yechayiv? Answers the Gemara, Nafkale, he learns it from the Pasuk, Umakala Aviv Imay Mos Yumas. And that's coming to teach us, that's an extra Pasuk, to teach us the Halach of Lachamisa. But now ask the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yonason, that we've learned it from the Pasuk of Aviv Imay Kilel, what is this Pasuk come to teach us? Homi Baile, Larabbis Bas, Tumtum and Trigonus. That those that are daughter and a tumtum and dragoness that curse a parent, a chayim misa. But ask the Gemara, but we already learned a moment ago that the halacha of bas tumtum and dragoness we could learn from the pasuk of ish ish, that the Torah said ish ish twice. Answers Rabbi Yonason, ish ish dibre Torah klash b'nei adam. When the Torah uses the words ish ish, it's not there to teach us anything new, it's just that's the way the Torah expresses itself. So to teach us the halacha bas tumtum and dragoness, I'm going to need this pasuk. So actually, it turns out that the basis of the machlokes of Yonis and Rabbi Yishai is 2 points. One is the Torah have to say yachdav, and B, does the Torah, when it says ish ish, there to teach us a limud, or do we say dibur Torah klishav nei adam? The Mishnah said that the makalel is stricter than the maka, as we've been discussing. The makalel is chayiv even lachamisa, whereas the maka. But as the Gemara, just like the Mishnah taught us in which way the Makalel is stricter than the Makkah, the Mishnah should have also said, for listening, Chaim be Makkah and Makalel, that there's a Chumrah that applies by the Makkah, not the Makalel. Shemakkah, when it comes to hitting a parent, there's no differentiation if the parent is Moisa Masa Amcha or not. Masha and Kain, Makalel, that by Makalel there is such a differentiation. Answers the Gemara, Kesavar, that the Tana of this Mishnah of the opinion, the Makshina HaKalala Klala. And just like the by Klala, there's a distinction between a parent that's Oysa Masa Amcha and Eina Oysa Masa Amcha, that distinction will be by HaKa as well. Says the Gemara, Lema Hani Tanoi, that the Machloikas that we're learning now, is there a din of is there such a differentiation by a call between Oysa Masa Amcha and Eina Oysa Amcha is the same machloikas regarding the Kutim. We know the Kutim were people that were brought by Sancheriv to live in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael at that point was desolate, and because Eretz Yisrael was desolate, there were lions throughout the country, and out of fear, these Kutim became Gerim, and then ultimately they went back and were not acting as Jews. And the question is, are the Kutim considered Geri Emes, honest Gerim, or are they considered that they're Geri Aroyas, that Geris is not considered a Geris? The Tana, the one Brisa says, Kuti Atam Tzuvah Al Kaisoi, because Vei Atam Tzuvah Al Kolosoi, there's Issa to hit him, but there's no Issa to curse him. The Tanya Idach, and the other Brisa says, there's no Isser not to hit him nor to curse him. So says the Gemara, how do we understand the machloikas abraises. Savruos on the yeshiva, they wanted to explain. The kula alma, everybody's of the opinion, kutum gerim is saying that the kutum were honest gerim. My laba hakamufki. So what is the basis of their machloikas? The machloikas is the mar savar, the braise that says that you potter for hitting a kuti, makshin and hakala klola. The kutum were not individuals that were oisamas amcha. They weren't leading a religious life. So there's no issa to curse them. And that tana holds that just like there's no issa to curse somebody who's ain't oisamas amcha, there's no issa to hit such an individual. And the other man dharma holds, masava lo makshin hakala klola. So even though they're not acting the way they're supposed to act, that ain't oisamas amcha. And therefore, there's no isser to curse them, but there's still an isser to hit them. Says the Meraloi, that's not necessarily the way we have to understand this machloikus. So in other words, what the Gemara is saying is that the Brises are arguing over this very question, if this differentiation which we make between oisa masa amcha and ain oisa masa amcha is only by klala or even by a kol. Says the Gemara Loi, that's not necessarily the way to understand this machloikus. Rather, the kula alma loy makshin akala klola. Everybody says that everybody will agree that by klola there is such a differentiation, not by akava. The machloikus of the brises is masover. One holds kutum geri emesain, and therefore you're not allowed to hit them. Or masover kutum geri raisain, they're not considered Jewish, and therefore the issur of akar doesn't apply. Says the Gemara, yachi, if the brise that holds, you're allowed to hit the kuti, is because they're not considered Jewish. They're considered geri arayis. Hanin the Tani law, the brise continues, v'shoyro yishakuti, dina kishoyro yisrael. The Mishnah Masechta Baba Kama, the Aflamet Zayin on a base, differentiates between a shor, an animal that belongs to Yisrael, that did damage to an animal that belongs to Yisrael, that the halacha is a tam pays chezek nezek, and a mu'ud pays nezek shalom. But if a shor shal Yisrael was mazik a shor shal akum, the halacha says you potter from paying. And if a shor of an akum did damage to the shor of Yisrael, there too there is no difference between tam and mu'ud. He always pays nezek shalom. So how can we say that this braisa holds that the kutim are geri arayis and they're not geri emes, when the braisa says that the shor of a kuti is treated like the shor of Yisrael? Obviously that this braisa is of the opinion that a kutim are considered geri emes. Says the Gemara, al shmami no, and we have to say that the machloikus of these two braises is over the subject that we have been discussing, that kesha pligi, is hakor treated like klola or not? Shmami no. Now, we go into the isser of stealing somebody, and when the Torah says that a goyim of nefesh miYisrael is chayv skila, and the question is, what is the situation? So says the Mishnah, a goyim of nefesh miYisrael, somebody steals another Jew, ein chayv at shichnensu rishusoy. He's not chayv till he brings him into his rishus. Ruda oimer at shichnensu rishusoy, test bringing him into the possession of the ganav is insufficient. You have to bring him into the possession of the ganef, the yishtamish boy. You have to use him. Because the pasuk says, v'samaboy or amachar. So I saw that Mepharshim say that when it came with the brother of Yosef, they said, ma'batza kinar gezachinu, l'chuvenim krena l'yishma'elim. So the question is, why what are we accomplishing with that? We're learning now the goinef ish mecharoi is asur. So why were they not concerned about that? So I saw that we just learned that a goinef nefesh enechayv atshich. Rabbi Huda said a goinef nefesh enechayv atshich nesen rishusoy v'yishtamish boy. So what happened was they threw him into the bar that wasn't in their rishus. The bar was hefker, and what afterwards they did was they sold him to the Yishmaelim. And since they sold him to Yishmaelim, before he was ever in their Rishus, that's why it wasn't considered that they were over going of Nefesh. I saw that's why the Imri Emes said that was what Yehuda tried to accomplish. Yehuda tried to accomplish that it should be sold to the Yishmaelim before they would ever be in the Rishus. And like that, Yehuda was able to say, V'yodeinu al tiyaba, he will never have been in our Rishus. By him having never been in our Rishus, we will not be over for Goynif Nefesh. Hagoynif is Benoit, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, somebody steals his own son. And we'll discuss this in the Gemara Mitzvah. Says the Mishnah further, Hagoynif, Misha Chatsi Eved Chatsi Mecharim. You have an individual who was owned by two people, or Eved Ivri that was owned by two Jews, and one freed him and one didn't free him. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayiv, V'chama Paitrim. Tanakama said that as soon as you bring him into your Rishus, Yechayiv. Ask the Gemara, the Tanakama like by Emer, the Pasuk says V'sababa. So what will the Tanakama do with that Pasuk? Says the Gemara, Amr of Achab Rei, the Rava, Imar Pachs Meshava Prutik Menayu. The Machloks between Tanakama and Yehuda is where the Gadif used the victim. But the question is that what was the value of that work? It was less than a Pruta or not. According to the Tanakama, any time that he used him, he's going to be Chayiv. Whereas the Rabbi Yehuda says that when the Torah says Imur, it has to be a significant Imur. And if it's Pachs Meshava Pruta, he won't be Chayiv. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, by Rabbi Yemi, Ganvay or Machroi, if somebody stole somebody and sold it, when Yoshin. And throughout this entire episode, the victim was sleeping. Is Mahu, what will be the din on the Ganif? Or Machi Isha L'Ubra, if somebody stole a pregnant woman and sold that baby and he only sold the baby, not the mother. Mahu, what will be the halacha? We're learning that you have to have Imur. And the Gemara's question is, Yesh Deyerch Imam Bekach, Ein Deyerch Imam Bekach. Typically, says the Gemara, the Leke Imam Klal. Then these cases, there was no Ibur. He didn't work with them. And we're learning that Imur is considered, Imur means you have to work with him. Leit Tzricha, says the Gemara, we're speaking about a case, Yoshin the Zogaleu, that even though the victim was sleeping, he rested on him. Isha Dukum Bapizika, or the woman was protecting him from the wind. And the Gemara's question is, Derech Imur Bekach, is that considered Imur, or Derech Ein Derech Imur Bekach, or not, that therefore the Ganif will not be Chayiv? And the Gemara says, Teiku, the Gemara doesn't have an answer to this question. Michas Chinuch says that this entire discussion about the pregnant woman is only if we say, going back to the discussion that we've already had, that uber lav yirach imahu, that the fetus is not considered part of the mother; it's considered an independent. But if it's not, if it's uber yirach imay, so you didn't sell the whole mother, the uber is not really considered something independent, and therefore it certainly would not be considered derech imur if you only sold the uber.